You're listening to Precinct 444, a podcast network from the National Law Enforcement Museum.
Today's episode of Lifeline will review some of the safety recommendations presented during the National Law Enforcement Traffic Safety Summit, with updated statistics from the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, also known as NHTSA. Host Nick Brule, Senior Projects Manager with the Officer Safety and Wellness Team, is joined by special guest Rio Nelson of NHTSA, who is going to take a closer look at some of the statistics presented and break down what they can tell us about the difficulties surrounding traffic safety and law enforcement, while looking also at how they can inform safety recommendations going forward and keep our officers safer on the roadways. This episode does feature references to the presentation that was made on October 20th of 2022. Presentation materials are available for download in the episode description so that you can follow along. And now, Precinct 444 and Lifeline present Safety Recommendations from the Traffic Safety Summit and Current Traffic-Related Line of Duty Death Statistics.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. My name is Nick Brule. I'm a senior project manager here with Memorial Fund. And today we're coming to you from inside the National Law Enforcement Museum. So you see, we've kind of got a little bit of a C-SPAN effect going on behind me. I'm not sure if you can see it or not, but the memorial, the law enforcement memorial, is directly behind me. So it's a beautiful day here in Washington. We've got a good program for you today. We're going to talk about where we are in terms of the law enforcement fatality statistics here in 2022. I'm then going to review with you the recommendations and core concerns that came out of the summit. We had a traffic safety summit here July 28th. Many of you may have attended that or know about it. But before we do that, I want to introduce Rio Nelson. Rio Nelson is a highway safety specialist with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Rio, if you would, tell us a little bit about what's going on with NHTSA.
Thank you for the introduction, Nick. Like Nick said before, I'm Rio Nelson. I'm a highway safety specialist with Enforcement Justice Services Division here at NHTSA headquarters. I'm a contracting officer representative for the NHTSA agreement with the National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund. Like I said, my program areas are speeding enforcement, and officer safety. Most of you who didn't know, I've recently taken over for now retired Will Price. And so he's gone on into retirement and on to do greater things in retirement. So the things that that we do, I'm not going to waste too much time. So one of the things that we currently want to promote is November 14th is the start of Crash Responder Safety Week with Federal Highways Administration, along with TIM, to promote safety traffic incident responders and road users. It's a webinar that's going to feature DOT, National Association Executive Leadership, responder struck by testimonials, the national proclamation signing, and a call to action. That link is available throughout the chat. If you can access to the chat, I think. Is that right, Nick? The chat or through the slide?
Yeah, so there's a slide at the end, and then we're going to send everybody who's registered on this, we'll send them an email with the links to all the programs you're going to describe.
Yep. And so that website is transportation.ops.org/event/national kickoff. Another initiative they're working on is the National Sheriff's Association is offering funding for two sheriff's offices and law enforcement agencies to obtain drug impaired driving enforcement training. Did it. Drug impaired driving enforcement training. Did it. It is also available through sheriff.org for that effort. We also have an ongoing partnership with Noble, who will soon be releasing a best practices guide for hosting traffic safety events in communities, especially those in underserved and minority communities. Also, another plug, below 100 classes are available. There's plenty of room available, and those classes are available if you visit below100.org. And also for your other traffic safety materials, they can be found at the trafficsafetymarketing.gov. That's all I have for now, but I turn the floor back over to Nick. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Rio. And yeah, below 100 is critical. I'm going to be mentioning them a little bit more when I go over the summit. But as I said today, I want to cover the statistics that are going on now in 2022, where we are with law enforcement traffic-related fatalities, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the summit. And at the end of it, we will show you, for the first time, a new video that we created. We have, if you ever go to our link with NHTSA on the Memorial Fund website, you can find a series of videos now that we've produced over the years. These videos are stories of officers telling how they survived crashes and what they can do, what they could have done better, what they might have done differently, or at least giving other cops advice on what happened to them. So you can hear it from another officer and maybe kind of keep it in the back of your brain as you listen to their story. So again, we're the National Law Enforcement Memorial and Museum. One of the things I wanted to cover with you is May 11th through the 16th is Police Week coming up for 2023. The National Candlelight Vigil, which you see an image of there on the screen, will be held on Thursday, May 11th on the National Mall. There'll be more details about Police Week activities coming out, but that's something I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware and kind of knew who we are if you're new to some of these webinars. These webinars are put on once a quarter as part of our cooperative agreement with NHTSA, and that's to keep everybody apprised of where we are with law enforcement traffic safety. I just got back, and our whole team that went to Dallas just got back from IACP 2022, which was held in Dallas, Texas. This was a very good conference. I think a lot of folks came out because it's one of the first times since 2019, which was the last time IACP had its conference. We made a lot of great contacts at the conference. These are just a couple of snapshots of our, we had a larger booth. We had a 10 by 20. We made a lot of contacts there, and we got out a lot of our safety messaging. And one of the things that we shared were these keys. And at the end, I'll try and show you the key. It's a flash drive in the shape of a key. And if you ask for one, we will mail you one, or if you need more than one, we'll mail you one of these flash drives. And the flash drives has 5 years of data on it. So it's from 2017 to 2021. And it also has three of our videos, which I just mentioned to you that we had produced. And it also has infographics, and it has the full report from the Traffic Safety Summit. So there's a lot of good material on the flash drive. You know, these are your tax dollars at work as we work to save officers' lives. So send me an email or send us something in the chat, and we can send you one of the keys or two of the keys. They're really great for training tools. So hopefully you'll avail yourself of that. So here's where we are today. And one of the first things I want to point out compared to year to date 2021 is COVID hit us in 2021 very hard. As we came out of 2020 and 2021, there's a huge number of law enforcement deaths that were attributed to COVID. Actually 301 of those cases were finally attributed to COVID. So that's accounts for the huge disparity in overall line of duty deaths. Firearms related fatalities are up. There have been a number of shootings. If you hadn't heard recently, within I think the last week, there were 12 officers shot, of which five were killed in the line of duty, two in Bristol, Connecticut alone. So this is, of course, something else that we track here at the Memorial Fund. And you may hear more about another initiative with regard to studying and putting out information on firearms-related deaths. But we're here to talk about traffic-related deaths, and the number you're looking at there, number 48. So we're about 4% higher than we were at this time last year. Last year was a particularly bad year, especially for struck-by fatalities, which is what led us to have that summit. That was really one of the core functions of that summit we held in July, was to focus on roadside safety and preventing struck-by crashes. Now, as always, there is a caveat to these numbers as I give them to you in the third quarter, second quarter, first quarter. It's all preliminary. As we get cases and we get the actual cases submitted to us at the Memorial Fund, which have to be reviewed, some of those cases and the criteria we have, it will not match up. So the cases won't match the criteria or the initial reporting of saying that individual was on duty may come out to, we find out later that they weren't on duty. They were actually on their way home in their personal vehicle, and it's a tragedy, but it is not something that we would count. So that could change the numbers. So here are the circumstances of our 2022 vehicle crashes so far, and unfortunately the numbers have gone up. So we have 24 auto collisions, and you see I break it out from single vehicle crashes, because that's really a category in and of itself. Seven of those officers, when they were involved in crashes, were responding to a call for service or responding to backup. 13 were on patrol and handling admin assignments. And that's something we always pull out, because there's clearly something going on when we've got these tragedies occurring while officers are simply on patrol or handling an admin assignment. Two were involved in pursuits or joining pursuits. One was trying to merge to assist a disabled motorist. And then there's one crash we know is a fatal crash, but the circumstances of that have not been made public. We're not sure if that was a single vehicle crash, a vehicle crash. We just don't have information on that. And then you see three were the single vehicle crashes involved a pursuit. Three of the officers were simply on patrol. One was on an admin run. And then one, unfortunately, an officer was driving into a hot fire area in an attempt to rescue people and ran off the road. So struck bys. Well, struck bys are lower than they were at this time in 2021. So that's good news. But we're still having a problem. And as you see, these are the circumstances, again, preliminarily, of what happened in these struck bys. Two were struck as they were directing traffic. One was struck by his responding backup. That was a tragedy. I mentioned that in the very first quarter of that circumstance. That was a truly sad case. One was struck while he was trying to remove a ladder from the roadway. That's a common scenario in some of the struck bys we have, officers trying to dash out into the roadway to remove debris and getting struck. Tire deflation devices, you'll hear a little bit more about that as we talk about the summit, but you see two have been struck already this year while deploying tire deflation devices. Three were struck at construction sites, and this is when they're simply sitting there in their cars or in a construction zone and being they're there to divert traffic and alert the public to an upcoming road or lane taper or road closure, and they're there to alert the public. And unfortunately, it's becoming more and more common that their cruisers are being struck while they're at the beginning of that construction zone road taper. In one of those cases, however, a Florida officer was struck by equipment, construction equipment. And I my understanding is that in that case, the equipment operator actually fled the scene and had to be arrested. And then two were struck while making a DUI arrest. One of those is a circumstance that I just added yesterday from Texas. And if you follow these things, there was an officer killed in Carrollton, Texas. It was a struck by, however, he was in his vehicle. I've just learned that he was not out on foot on the roadway. He was in his vehicle when he was struck. So I will probably address that statistic again. So information on crash elements. You know, here at the Memorial Fund, we go through and try to pull out some of the more important points in these crashes. And we try to also supply NHTSA with the data that they need to know what's going on, particularly as it relates to slow down and move over and the use of seatbelts and impaired driving. So far this year, nine drivers involved in the collisions who struck officers were impaired, and they've confirmed that two were distracted. Three of the officers involved in crashes were not wearing their seatbelts. That's a big one that we track. You'll hear more about that in a few minutes. Inclement weather, something we look at, really has not been a big factor in some of the crashes we've had. It was only cited in two of these crashes. And then, as I mentioned, slow down and move over, which you will probably hear me speak a little bit more about, because there's an event coming up in May of 2023 that I think is really going to focus on slow down and move over, on enforcement, as well as creating awareness in an attempt to stop these terrible roadside crashes. I put this up here just as a reminder. Responder Safety, emergencyrespondersafety.com, has the portal that everyone should be aware of so that they can take the time to simply report struck by crashes. You know, the fatality information we get, but the damage to property, the injuries, the near misses, we need all that information put into this portal. So FHWA, NHTSA, and DOT proper can get this information and make it actionable, right? We get evidence. We can really show how big the problem is. And I think it's going to be particularly important as we show not only how many lives are lost, but how much equipment is damaged. I mean, you know, when these folks run into a fire truck, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And of course, the lives are more important. We don't want people injured, but we've also got to see what other toll this is taking than just beyond the lives. So let me talk a little bit about the National Law Enforcement Traffic Safety Summit. It was held on July 28th here at the museum, but we also streamed it. And we had a large audience. We got close to 500 folks who registered as well as attended. So that was a pretty good attendance as far as we were concerned. And we pulled together, and the main point of this summit was to pull together a really diverse group of law enforcement experts and risk management experts and traffic safety experts to all come into the same room and talk about the problem of struck by crashes, roadside incursions, but also talk about traffic safety in general and law enforcement. So as you see that slide there, that is Tim Burrows, who moderated for us. And you have Chief Sharp, retired Chief Sharp from IACP. You have Bob Beidler, retired undersheriff from Snohomish County. He was also a Destination Zero winner for his traffic program out there in Washington. And then you have the famous John Wetzel from the National Sheriff's Association. So having those four people all coming together in the same room to discuss these topics to me, I don't know when it's ever been done before. And each one of them shared some very important views on how they, as law enforcement leaders, got their members to wear their seatbelts, wear their body armor, and how they thought about training in terms of vehicles. And so there's a lot of really good information that came out from their panel discussion. And that's not all that we had in the summit. We had other things. And before I forget, you can click on our report. If you look here on the left, that's what it looks like on our website. You can click on it and download it. But you can also click on the links within the report and it'll take you to that individual presentation. So just for a quick review of what this summit entailed, it started with me giving the overall picture of what was happening in law enforcement traffic-related fatalities, right? So I gave the audience a five-year view of law enforcement-related traffic fatalities and gave them the numbers and gave them the best numbers I could with regard to seatbelt use, what occurred on crash scenes, what the percentages were. And you've heard me say before that we have a huge problem with officers being struck and killed while already on the scene of an existing crash. And this is why traffic incident management is so important. TIMS is so important, getting everybody on the same page. So I was then followed by Todd Leese from the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission. Todd is a passionate trainer on safety, and Todd spoke and covered a number of issues. He had some very interesting videos that talked about positioning vehicles, lighting, and Todd, you know, made the point that traffic is the enemy. We have to constantly watch out for traffic. He was then followed by Tom Durlam, who's retired from the Michigan State Police, and Tom presented on Below 100 and just gave the audience an overview of what Below 100 is all about. And he covered body armor, and if you're familiar with Below 100, there are five tenets to their program that they really feel that if officers focus on those tenets, they will increase their safety. And the issue of complacency came up, as well as body armor, seatbelts, remembering what's important now, and watching your speed. These are all critical points. But Tom also talked about the importance of having courageous conversations, meaning if you see somebody who's not wearing their seatbelt, and they're a friend who's in law enforcement, or you're a supervisor or a peer, it doesn't matter. You really need to have the guts to go up and say, you know what? You need to wear your seatbelt. You need to wear your body armor. Where are you going? You're in uniform and you're not wearing your body armor. That's bad news. I mentioned the panel discussion. As I said, each one of those executives and former executives brought to the panel what they did and their perspective on leadership and the role of being leaders in law enforcement to developing better practices for law enforcement traffic safety. Then we had Gordon Graham. Hopefully most of you are familiar with Gordon. He's been around for a long time, former California Highway Patrolman, and he is a risk management expert. And he doesn't just do risk management for law enforcement. He does it for the airline industry, I think the railroad industry. He's been called to put his principles and his insights into risk management onto a number of venues. He's a very concise individual. He tells it like it is. And I think his presentation is eye-opening, even for me, who's heard him speak more than once. We also had Lieutenant Commander Melanie Fowler from the Centers for Disease Control, and that's the subset with which is the national, the National Center for Occupational Safety and Health. I messed that up. I apologize, Melanie. And she works on their FACE program, which is a group that does studies of fatal traffic crashes. And they've done 5 on fatal law enforcement crashes. And she presented on struck bys and presented on a particular struck by investigation that they did. Those are not investigations that are punitive towards law enforcement. They look for that agency's cooperation, but their recommendations are very strong and they identify a lot of weak points that law enforcement can look at. And then the last thing that we did, I didn't want to end the summit with just that. I wanted to make sure that everyone watching knew that there's lots of new technology developing. Technology from the HASS system or the HAAS alert system that allows cell phones to be alerted within a certain geofenced area to alert people to a crash. I personally demonstrated a number of lights to include these new power flares and the beacons for life flares that are long-lasting traffic safety alerting lighting systems that agencies can look at. And they're very versatile, they're very durable, they can be set on different patterns, and there's lots of technology out there to help us manage these crash scenes and to avoid these crashes that occur at crash scenes as we're creating lane tapers. And of course, these are all best used within the principles of traffic incident management. We also had another product called Barrier by Design that I mentioned. And these are folks who are creating large barriers that you can put up so that you don't get the gawkers. You don't get the cross flow of traffic across the other side of the roadway, slowing down to take pictures or creating secondary crashes. They put up these barriers and all you're doing is looking at a blue wall. And we also had a presentation from Carfax for Police. And they have a number of products that can help officers assist motorists exchange information in crashes quicker. They have reporting tools. They have a number of different elements that will help officers not only investigate crashes, hit and runs with partial tag searches and things like that, but the driver exchange app really to me was a key thing. No more are we using pen and paper, although there are agencies that are still doing that, having drivers exchange forms. The Carfax for Police system is very quick. And as we talk about getting off the roadway and getting the roadway back open, seems to me that was a pretty good product. Again, I'm not trying to endorse any one particular product, but I do want people to know that these things are out there. You and your agencies should explore them. So the key topics that sort of came out of all this and listening to all of these great speakers and their presentations, a lot of them had a number one or a number two, but certainly seatbelts and making sure that officers wear their seatbelts and that we don't tolerate officers not wearing their seatbelts and we don't accept the excuses that they give. In that 5-year window I did, we showed that 46% or 47% of officers involved in vehicle crashes were not wearing their seatbelt. That has to change. That has to change. Complacency. I mentioned complacency. That's tied into below 100. It was mentioned by Gordon Graham. It was mentioned by, I think, nearly every speaker. We get into this issue of what Gordon described as risk homeostasis, where we've done it so many times, we're absolutely used to doing it. So Gordon described putting out roadway flares on a highway that was bouncing with big trucks going over it. And he said, the first 20 times I did it, I was terrified, but the 21st time I had kind of gotten used to it. And it's all about not allowing yourself to get complacent. If you're familiar with below 100, they constantly say complacency kills. Fatigue, this was a big one. And this was described as the dirty little secret in law enforcement. Yeah, we all know that there's cops who go out there and have been in court all day and they're coming to work after their shift, having been in court all day, not getting sleep, or we have cops who are working a lot of overtime, or in the present circumstances in law enforcement, we have officers who are being held over, forced to work longer shifts, not getting their days off. This is definitely something we need to address. Fatigue could be that sort of unquantified element in some of these crashes that we're seeing. And of course, as fatigue sets in, decision-making gets worse, as well as reflexes are slower. So fatigue is a big issue. TDDs, the traffic, the tire deflation devices, those are definitely a great tool for stopping pursuits and getting suspects under arrest, but they've also shown to be dangerous. And I cited the statistic over 5 years, we've had 14 officers killed in the line of duty deploying tire deflation devices, and 6 of those officers were struck by other officers. So this is something we need to look at. I mentioned in the summit, we already know of one agency that has stopped using them. Certainly not saying that, but certainly we have to train with them and make sure officers protect themselves when they're deploying them. Training is a big one. And training was a big one for all of the panelists as they talk about implementing not only mandatory policies for vests and seatbelts, but getting agencies to look at training with their vehicles the same way they look at training with their firearms. Twice a year, most agencies have to qualify, but many agencies don't even have refresher courses for traffic safety, for driving, for EVOC. Sometimes it's every 2 years, sometimes it's every 3 years. I mean, it's something that needs to change. One of the panelists remarked that, look, we go out and we give officers a gun, but we're also giving them another thing that can be just as destructive as a gun to themselves and others, and that's a car, but very rarely train regularly with it. So we need to think about that. One of the big ones that was pushed out is right side approaches. We recently did a Facebook post on this, and I was a little disappointed to see some sort of sarcastic comments about right side approaches. A couple of the comments were, well, this isn't new. You know, why don't you tell us about some rotator lights? And I was kind of like, well, that's not very helpful. But not only is it not helpful, we need to constantly reinforce, because there's still plenty of officers and agencies who don't train on right side approaches. They're still allowing officers to go up on the left-hand side, even as traffic is passing by them on an interstate. So right side approaches, it gives you cover as you're going to the car. It gives you a better look inside the car, and it protects you from traffic. So I really urge agencies to look at right side approaches. Body armor, I've already discussed that a little bit, but if you watch any of our videos, it's not just for ballistic protection. Body armor protects you when you're in a crush injury or a crash. And in the last video we made with the officer in Macedonia, Ohio, he said, I'm glad I have my vest on, because when I was struck by that car, I think it protected me. And you'll see in the video we're going to show you at the end of this, Trooper Patel, as we interviewed him for this, said he hadn't really thought about whether his vest had protected him. But in retrospect, he thought, you know what, it must have protected me to some degree when I got struck by the vehicle. Last thing is being seen, we've done a webinar on the light studies that are taking place, but it's not just that. I mentioned the guardian angel lights that officers are wearing on their shoulders when they're on the roadside. These lights can be seen for 5 miles, and I also mentioned the roadway flares that are out there now that are electronic. They're very durable, there are studies that are happening with regard to lighting patterns and what type of lighting is best so that it doesn't obscure you while you're in those lights, so motorists actually don't get blinded by the lights and can't see you. So these are all things that were sort of core concerns, not all the concerns. I would invite you to read the report. That's not that long, and it's written in, I think, in a fairly digestible way. All right, so I want to play this video for you now. This is down in Florida. This is the story of Trooper Patel, who was struck and actually saved a man's life before he himself was struck.
I'm Mithil Patel. I'm a trooper at the Florida Highway Patrol in Fort Pierce District. We got a call about a crash at 5 a.m. in the morning between a vehicle towing a car and a tow truck. When I arrived, fire rescue was already on scene. They had cones outside. All the vehicles with their emergency lights on were in the right shoulder and in the right lane. When I exited the vehicle, I made sure I had the vest on, because I-95, it is a dangerous road. It is 70 miles per hour speed limit zone. However, an average speed is about 80, 85. I was standing away from my patrol car. I was talking to the driver, handing him his paperwork for the crash. And the next thing I know is the vehicle came towards us. The vehicle's left panel hit both of my knees. My head actually hit the windshield, and I landed on my back. The next thing I remember is I'm in the hospital and my major is looking at me. Major basically told me that you were in a crash and you are doing okay. I kept asking my family what happened and everybody kept saying that you saved someone's life. I actually don't remember the actual hit because I had a concussion right away. Finally, the next day, my mind got clear. I saw the video, and that's when it actually hit me was that I could have been dead at that time. It could have happened. I guess that day, God wanted to make sure I was okay and alive. I was told that I have a disc issue in my neck and in my back. Two of my knees just picked up arthritis because of the incident. It kicked in early. So those are injuries that I had to either do surgery or live with the pain, so to speak. I was out for good 4 or 5 months, and then I went back to the light duty for 3 months or so, and then I started back in September of 2019. The gentleman I pushed out of the way, he sustained some leg injury, but he was okay. I met him a week later. He was thankful. This job is dangerous, but it's fun. But you gotta keep safety in mind whenever you put the uniform on, not just for yourself, but also for the others.
Okay, hopefully you all enjoyed that video. It can be a little tough to watch that. You saw Trooper Patel was, he was hit pretty hard. But before I get into just the last part of our discussion, if anybody has questions, please send them into the chat and we'll try and answer them. I forgot to mention that as we started the webinar. I apologize. And certainly we can answer any questions. And if we don't know, I'll, you know, get back to you and say, well, we'll find out the answer to it if we don't have the answer. And I also butchered the CDC, and it's the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. So I apologize for that. And one of the things as you watch that video, you may be kind of saying, well, Nick, okay, kind of look like they had it all being done right. They had a taper, he had his vest on, they were blocking vehicles. And what happened in that crash with Trooper Patel was that people gawking slammed into the rear of another car, and that sent that car spinning into him. And he actually was talking to the man partially facing traffic. And for those reasons, we thought that that was a important story to tell. Not only the fact that, you know, he recovered from it, he saved someone's life, but also the lesson of you can do it all the best you can and still something may happen. And it still sort of ties into some of the admonishments that the speakers in the summit gave, which is traffic is the enemy. And we heard that from Todd Leese. And I think we heard that from Melanie Fowler. Treat traffic as though it's the enemy and never turn your back on traffic. And that's one of the things that we saw happen in a previous video where the officer, he wasn't wearing his visibility vest and he turned his back on traffic to help somebody pull out of the crash scene, and that's when he got struck from behind. Let me share my screen again, because I'm gonna put up this slide here that has the links, so you can look at those. And again, we're gonna send these out. So we do have a question that came in, is the video available to share? So yes, it will be. And you guys got the first look at our video on Trooper Patel, and we literally just finished editing and getting this out yesterday. So I was very glad that we could share it today. We were down in Florida filming that in September. which I don't know if you've been to Florida in September. It was really, really, really hot. So it was something. There's another question about lighting studies. Where can we find information on the studies in lighting? Yeah, so the this is one of the things we did in one of our earlier webinars when we talked with folks from the ResponderSafety.com, Emergency Responder Safety Institute. They've done lighting studies to show what the correct patterns are. What's the best pattern to make it so there are responders are more visible and we're not obscuring them. And I would also tell you that I know, at least for Whalen light bars, for law enforcement, I'm told that their light bars, if one officer comes to back up another officer in a traffic stop, the light bars will sync up. And the light bars will sync up. So the lead car's light bar will go dim and the rear car's light bar will go to a pattern so that you don't have that purple effect that we all see at night when the law enforcement is making traffic stops with these new LED lights. And it also, the study shows how we can cut down on blinding drivers as they're approaching some of these crash scenes. There is another question. Does NHTSA still publish the highway and freeway traffic safety report as they did years ago? It's writers saying it's usually 300 pages. I don't know. Rio, can you chime in on that with regard to NHTSA publishing the safety report? I know NHTSA has just put in, they've done their study for 2021, and there was something like 42,000 traffic highway deaths in the United States, and that's an incredible increase. And again, so for everyone who's watching today, we will push out that information. And then, of course, as I said, the links I just had up on the website, for the website links, I'll send to everyone in an email if they're interested. I think that's about it. And let's see if I can share my last slide here so you all can see my my email. So that's me. That's my telephone number. That's my email. It's pretty easy. nbruhl@nleomf.org. I know that's a mouthful. You can also look up and find all of our safety products, the videos, everything I've referred to, including information on Destination Zero, which has a lot of traffic safety elements to it as well. You can find that at lawmemorial.org under our Officer Safety and Wellness tab. So I want to thank you all for joining us. I want to thank Rio and, of course, my team here at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, Anna and Hannah, both here helping me. And honestly, if you guys have any questions, have any ideas, if you have ideas of who you want to hear from on these webinars, do not hesitate to send me an email. We're always looking for fresh ideas and fresh content. So again, thank you all for joining us and be safe out there.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Lifeline. Find all past episodes and episodes of Precinct 444's other shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Please subscribe to Precinct 444 on your favorite podcasting platform to stay connected and to receive our latest content as soon as it drops. We would love to hear from you. Send in your questions, comments, and feedback to precinct444@nleomf.org. You can help us make our content even better. The National Law Enforcement Museum is located at 444 East Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., and is dedicated to telling the story of American law enforcement. We expand and enrich the relationship between law enforcement and the community through educational journeys, immersive exhibitions, and insightful programs. Find us online at lawenforcementmuseum.org and stay tuned for more podcast content from Precinct 444. Until next time, stay safe. We'll see you at the precinct. Thank you.